Glad each of you is here tonight. We're going to be looking at some passages from 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians as well. We have so much to be thankful for, and sometimes I think there are things we ought to be thankful for that perhaps we haven't even thought of because we are so used to the blessings and the richness of the life that we live here in this nation. There are many things physical that we are grateful for that God has provided us with. There are many things in terms of our health, in terms of our monetary blessings that we are and should be grateful to God for each and every day. The freedoms that we enjoy in our nation also are very great blessings that we can be expressing to God gratitude in behalf of. But I'd like for us to think about for a moment this evening some of the words that are expressed by the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church in Thessalonica. We might call this Paul's Thanksgiving. And Paul, of course, is writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And thus, the things that he expresses gratitude for, and you'll notice this as we go through, are things that certainly God is grateful for, that God is joyful in regard to. And we begin with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, where Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father." Here are individuals who had turned to the Lord in obedience. Paul was grateful for them because of the lives that they continued to choose to live. Now, obeying the gospel during this period of time, and especially in certain places, and Thessalonica was one of them, persecution was taking place. And to say, I'm going to be named among these people who are suffering persecution, who are ridiculed, who are hated by many, that was quite a step. But then to remain faithful and to grow and continue to move forward, that's something that God found great pleasure in, and it is expressed by Paul here as gratitude for these brethren because of their living, their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope in Christ. Here, these individuals were followers. Look at verse 6. Followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. So here is a congregation of believers. Begun their walk with the Lord in great difficulty in the midst of turmoil. They were followers of Christ and of others who were willing to suffer in the midst of doing good, and they persisted in that good. The word of their faith spread, and others were affected by it. Paul says, we give thanks to God for you because of this. And then look at verse 13 of chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now, the evidence of that working, we've already talked about. You look at the words that we just read about how it was transforming their lives, and you can see God's word had touched them deeply. Paul says the reason it had done so is because they took it as what it really is, he says. You received this message that we told you because you knew it was in truth God's word. You knew it was heavenly in origin. And therefore, we're so grateful that this message that you received, you didn't take it as if it were our word. That creates a problem. You know, some people don't investigate. They don't search out the word that they're being taught. And we know that there were some in the city of Corinth who, because they were just receiving the word, but not as if it was from God, they became followers of men. Some were saying, I am of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos. You see, when you start following man, you can get into trouble. But Paul says, you didn't do that to the church in Thessalonica. So he was grateful. He gave thanks to God that they receive the word as it is in truth from God, which he says effectively works in you who believe. The word of men can't effectively work in you salvation, but the word of God can. It can transform your life so that your life daily becomes closer and closer a walk with the Lord. Remember, it's his footsteps we're to be following. It's his example that we're to pattern our lives after. It's his word that is going to judge us in the last day. And therefore, when we think about what Paul is saying here, we need to investigate our own lives. And we're certainly, when we ourselves have a small part in helping lead others to the Lord, if you see that people are in fact doing this very thing, what joy it will bring to your heart. Here's people faithfully following the Word of God. They know it's from God, and they appreciate it, they love it, and they're devoting their lives to it. Look at chapter 3 and verse 9. That's where we find the word thanks, but beginning in verse 6, Timothy had brought word to the brethren, good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, and we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. And now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. What was it he was so thankful for? It's what he talks about in verses 7 and 8. They were so comforted because these people remained in the faith. They continued to live for God. And then he says, look at verse 8, for now we live. If you stand fast in the Lord, his life is connected with them. It's here are individuals who he loves so much, they are so dear to his heart, that if they are faithful to God, that's his life. If he were to hear that they had fallen from the Lord, were unfaithful to the Lord, it would be a deep blow to him. It would grieve his heart. But he is so thankful because he is able to have great joy for their sake before God. They were walking with the Lord. This is something we can give thanks to God for. When our brothers and sisters in Christ, when those around us that are near and dear to us are faithful to God, when brethren in different parts of the world, we hear of them and their hardships, their trials they might be going through. You might hear about them because some calamity struck their area of the world. But then you hear most thankfully that these people are faithful brethren walking with the Lord. That's what can bring you joy, and it certainly does. Look at chapter 5 and verse 18. And here is a specific command in the list that is given beginning in verse 12 all the way through verse 22 of various admonitions that the Apostle Paul is giving to the brethren. All of these we would do well to study and meditate upon and let them be present in our lives. But verse 18 simply says this, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God wants his people, Christians, to be thankful people. Thankful in everything, he says. In everything, give thanks. This is kind of like the song that we sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one by one. I mean, you could just keep going. When you really think about what we have and how blessed we are, you know, brethren in parts of the world that are impoverished, they sing that song too. We have to learn to be thankful in all situations. No matter if we have much or if we have little, there's always much to be thankful. And if you're a Christian and you're living faithfully for the Lord, you might have nothing of this world's good, but you have a whole lot to be thankful for because there is laid up for you treasure in heaven and a home, a room in the house of God that awaits you, that no one can take from you because God has promised it to you. And he has promised to be with you always, even to the end of the age, Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20. And thus, we do have cause, and we ought to be doing it. Verse 18, giving thanks in everything, because it's God's will for us. In the next epistle, there are two more verses we're going to look at. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 again. Notice what Paul says. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. So here is this second epistle that is followed up after the other one. He says, it's fitting to be thankful always for them because, notice, your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. You think about these beautiful words written about a beautiful people. Brethren, Paul is so thankful for because their faith is growing and it's evident in the lives that they're living. Their love, he says, for each other is just abounding. Wouldn't that be a beautiful place to be? And that's exactly what we need to imitate. A place where brothers and sisters in Christ have genuine and sincere love for one another. Where relationships are growing and developing and, you know, not just among the few people that are your age at church or that you might know well, but actually among all believers. This is how God desires things to be. A beautiful picture that we see here in the last verse then, chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was thankful because here were brethren chosen for salvation. God chooses people for salvation. But it's the manner in which He chooses that many sadly have misunderstood. He chooses us, as Paul explains here. It's not an arbitrary choice of select individuals that are saved and others that are going to be lost, but rather they are chosen for salvation, he says, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. The Spirit sanctifies a person when they receive the truth revealed by the Spirit. That's this book here. And then they comply with what the Spirit has taught. That's true faith, right? James chapter 2. It's the belief plus the works that equals the living faith, which is the saving faith, as opposed to the dead faith. These had it. And thus, because their hearts were right, and they heard this gospel that was preached by Paul and the others with him, they had been sanctified. They had been given a new lease on life, being forgiven of their sins and being made a part of the family of God. This is something that we can be thankful for. In all of these things, then, we see spiritual blessings and wonderful things that to those who are going to be spiritually minded, we see the value in them, how great a treasure they are. Because as Paul was thankful for these things, so ought we to be, because we know that God is. He's the one who gave the word to the Spirit to convey to the Apostle Paul, who wrote down these words for our own exhortation, for our building up in the faith. Let us be among those who daily count our blessings that God has given to us and have an attitude of gratitude every single day that we live because it's God's will for us. Tonight, if you're here, not a child of God, be thankful that you have tonight as an opportunity to turn to God in obedience to the gospel. God has made possible your salvation through His Son. But it's not going to be found by listening to the words of men, rather looking to the Scriptures to see what is it that God requires a person to do to be saved. Essentially, what is the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? Asked in ages gone by and answered by those faithful servants of the Lord in the New Testament period, we find the recipients of salvation were those who believed in Christ, turned from the sinful way of living that they had been a part of, acknowledged their faith in Jesus Christ, and were baptized, immersed in water, for the remission of their sins, that their sins might be cleansed by the blood of Christ in that act of obedience, which God commands. It's not a meritorious work. It's in a work of obedience required by God, necessary for salvation. When one complies with those teachings in the Scriptures, God, like He did in the first century, Acts chapter 2, adds you to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And those who are being saved are those who are doing just like they did back in this time. If you need to obey the gospel tonight, we can help you in that. Or if you need to come home as one who's wandered, being thankful for the fact that God is very merciful, that He gives us time and opportunity to repent and to continue our walk with Him, resume it if we need to. If you need to come, we'll help you in that as we stand and sing.